Good morning, one and all.
Good morning.
Nice to see a good group out this morning. That song has a lot of truth to it, doesn't it? And that's some of the reasons why we're here today, again, to introduce people to Jesus Christ and to see people come to know Him as Lord and Savior, but also to grow in Him. So this morning, I'm excited about what God has in store today, and I hope that you are too. I hope you've been praying for this service. I hope your hearts are prepared to worship Him this morning in a genuine attitude of spirit and truth and love. We're just glad for everyone that's come out. Let's stand this morning. It's on the screen, or if you have a hymnal, number 598. We're going to stand on the promises this morning. I'll tell you what, folks, we are not people that are hopeless. We are people with all hope in Jesus Christ. Let's join our voices together today and give Him praise. Trust God is in the forefront of your thoughts this morning. Here we go. Standing on the promises of Christ, my King, through eternal ages, let His praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing on the promises, I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises that cannot fail. Fear assail. By the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing on the promises. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Oh, Father, what a wonderful day it is when we can come and sing praises to Your name. You indeed have a worthy name. You have a worthy book, and that book is filled with, at least in part, many of Your precious promises. Lord, we're thankful today that we never have to wonder if You'll come through. But, Lord, You're faithful in everything that You do, and Your love for us is never ending. I thank You today, Lord, for many that have come out to worship You today. What a wonderful God You are. We can never extol that enough and tell You how much we love You this day. Now, Lord, today as we worship You from our very hearts, I pray that You would, again, direct us toward Your goodness and the love that You have for us. And yet, Lord, we understand we operate here in a broken world, a world that is cursed by sin. But yet today we also operate in a world that is blessed by hope. The hope that You give us, Lord Jesus, to trust You for the outcome of all things. And as You tell us in Romans 8:28, there is really nothing bad that can happen. All things work together for good to those that love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. And yet, Lord, with that said, we know there's people in trouble this morning. We know that there could even be today people of our own number here that are struggling with ailments, infirmities. Lord, from the effects of the sin curse, from sorrow, from grief. Maybe there was a fight in the home today, strife between parents and children, all kinds of things, Lord, that might have intervened today. But I pray at this time you'd bind Satan's hands, Lord, and that you'd speak to the hearts of those and also for our community, Lord, that again we turn our hearts to you this day and again by faith trust in these promises that you've given us. Lord, we can't say enough, but at this time now, Lord, I pray you'll bless the choirs we minister in music and that this day might be used mightily by the Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And with that said, you may be seated. Thank you, Lord. This morning, as the choir heads down and back into the seats, we want to take a look here at some announcements, and that's found on the right-hand side of your bulletin. Also, there's an addendum to that this week, and there's been quite a few things that have taken place here in the past week. We did have our annual business meeting, but let's cover these quickly here because there are a few things that we need to be aware of. Also, if you were elected into a new position of responsibility here this week, we will recognize that and pray for all those that are involved down just before the message today after the special music. But anyway, on the right-hand side of your bulletin, first of all, tonight at 6 o'clock, part two of the lost generations of our families. We know that there are two generations that are missing in many of our churches today, and that's an exploration of that. The second part of that tonight, a part of our concept that we've worked on this winter called Real Church. And I believe that Real Church will make a difference with those that we are missing in our churches today generationally. Also, we have a mandate to try to always give an announcement of meetings. We are a congregationally governed church. And March 28th, the last Sunday of the month, Lord willing, we will have a stand-up meeting in the morning service very briefly to consider a musical group that has desired to attend. And this was looked at in our meeting on Wednesday, but it's going to be revisited. So come prepared to vote on that. West Coast Baptist College has a musical group for June 25th. That's a Friday night. Again, Lord willing, consider that. Also, very important, church work day on March 27th at 8 o'clock. And that simply is this, where we all come together to put a hand in, and many hands make light work, to do some things that need done around here, like raking, window washing, you name it, cleaning up after the winter. So come and join us, not just to work, but also for a time of fellowship, coffee and donuts, and some time around the Word, and then we'll go to work and maybe take a coffee break midway through. Come and stay for as long as you can, if you can. We'll be glad to have you. Also, remember the Wilton Bible Study is this coming Thursday at 6 p.m. That's in the basement of the Presbyterian Church there. We also will resume our monthly fellowships on the last Sunday of April. And there is some needs there. You can talk with Deb Wheeler about that, about regathering our committees. And what this is, again, if you might be a new attender here at Fruitland, is we have a potluck fellowship right after the morning service in Fellowship Hall. That's been, again, stopped because of the corona situation. But bring a covered dish, and if you can, if not, come and join anyway. And what we'll do on that day then, immediately following our lunch, we'll have our afternoon service. So we'll be done for the day then following that. Also, for some that may have not been here for a while, we do some fun things at Fruitland too, and about four times a year, we have some games that we play on that given Sunday. And the next one that we're going to do, hopefully for the end of April, will be Name That Tune. So we'll be praying about that. I know Judy's excited about that. And we'll see what happens. But we have some interesting things that we do here. Bible baseball, Bible football sometimes. Bible Wheel of Fortune. We do some fun things. And this is something we can do as a group. You're not singled out unless you want to be, and so forth. But anyway, be thinking and praying about that. Also, Women's Bible Study on the 20th at 10 o'clock. And the next Women's Bible Study would be April 10th and 24th. You'll see my thoughts there for the week. But also, you'll see on this handout the people that were placed in positions of authority Wednesday night. Also, on the bottom of that sheet, we have also had a group here called the Senior Saints, which is reserved for retiree age type folks. You don't have to be retired, but what that group does, it meets once a month as well for fellowship and possibly to take some little trips and things like that. It's a good opportunity to invite people maybe that don't know the Lord or maybe lack fellowship to come with you and to experience some of that camaraderie that we have. So if there's an interest in that, there seemed that there was in that meeting, some of you folks need to kind of key on that, what you'd like to do, when you'd like to do it, and we'll be glad to see that restarted. And I guess it says there, let me know the dates and the items of interest that you might have. Also, a meeting next Sunday, March 21st at 4:30, and I don't want to take too much time with this, but there are some exciting things coming at Fruitland this year, Lord willing. One of those is a men's retreat, and it involves cars, trucks, tractors, and things that guys like. Some do, anyway. And we're going to have a Friday night and a Saturday assigned to that, the 24th and 25th of September. Gospel preaching, but also some workshops and a show out here. I'm hoping we can fill this whole yard down here with things, items, and have some interest there among men, but also to see the Word of God preached and maybe some souls saved or some lives changed during that opportunity. And then also, it's not on your sheet, but I would like for folks that are interested in helping with that to have an organizational meeting next Sunday at 4:30. Also, our Thanksgiving service this year will be with the Institute for Creation Research. We'll have a speaker here. That'll be a special day. If you don't know about that, Google that in or explore that. That will be a very good seminar, and I anticipate some very good crowds for that as we will reach out again to our community and the area. And in the afternoon, we'll have our longtime meeting with Walnut Park, our mother church, used to be Walnut Street. And we'll that's open as well. All those things are open, but will be an afternoon Thanksgiving service this year rather than our usual Tuesday night before Thanksgiving. So many things to pray about, many things to be excited about. We've got a great year in store. And again, welcome to everyone this morning. If you're visiting with us today, we're just glad you're here, glad for everyone. Pray you'll be blessed in our time together. We don't receive an offering as of yet. We do have ushers. But as you see on your paper, but as of yet, we're still placing that in the receptacle in the back as God leads you. But we're going to take time right now to thank him for that opportunity and for his bountiful goodness to us. But also as we pray and have a moment or two to meditate here, may our hearts be turned toward worship today, if it hasn't been already, that our hearts would again express how much we love God today during this service and the evidence that's presented of, again, in just a little portion today, but of how much we need to love him because he's really done it all for us out of love. So let's bow together this morning, unless there's something else I've neglected. I know a lot of things this morning. All right, let's pray. Father, once again, we give you thanks. The truth of it is, Lord, what can we really say if we truly understand and get it right? This is not about us. It's about you. We wouldn't even be here today, Lord. We wouldn't have a breath if it weren't for your grace. And Lord, we wouldn't even be able to give back to you today if it weren't for the fact that you gave to us first. That's how it is too, Lord. You know, you died for us. We wouldn't know how to love even if you hadn't shown us love to begin with. It's all yours, Lord. Lord, we fall far short in so many ways. But I pray today that this offering that has been given from the heart today, and hopefully it's been given in accordance with your word, Lord, but that it'll be used by you, Father, and it'll be blessed. And we just ask that you would bless both that gift and the giver this morning. Now, Lord, get our hearts in tune with the message today, and I just ask us that the Spirit would have free course today as we work through this message, and Father, that people would be confronted again with your love for them. Lord, help us to understand, again, how much you care for us. Now again, bless this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, ladies. Only believe. All things are possible with God, aren't they? Yeah, that's a wonderful thing. Well, Gene's going to come and share with us at this time for some special music.
Morning.
Good morning.
That was a long walk. Yeah, certainly glad that each of you could be with us today, and like to play a couple pieces for you this morning, and I trust it'll please your hearts as I play. I started back about 13 years of age. Somebody gave me a harmonica, and I played that, and actually wore the thing out. But since then, I have accumulated over 30 different harmonicas. So this is one of them. I'm sure glad that I don't have to be a speaker, because I just am not a good speaker at all, as you can see. So the harmonica will speak for itself.
Thank you.
Amen. Thanks, Gene. Thank you, Gene, for that great blessing. I got a few questions. You know, I always have questions. What's the model of that one?
This is an F sharp.
An F sharp. What's the brand?
Horner.
Horner.
And most mine are Horners.
Okay.
I have one that's an off breed. I won't tell you that one because I support the Horners.
Okay.
Don't want to get into trouble, Steve.
I'll tell you what, right here would be a good topic for the Senior Saints, not only to have him play, but to share all about that. Gene, how long have I known you?
Oh, a long time.
Some might say too long.
Long time.
Lord bless you, Gene. Yeah.
Thanks.
You know, I have to tell you, Kim and I and our son Greg owe a debt of gratitude to Gene and his wife Sandy up at Calvary back in the days. Greg had a hard time paying attention, but these folks took him under their wing and saved him from getting in a lot of trouble.
You know what saved him? The thing that saved him was Sandy always used to make boats on paper.
Yep.
And she was, he always called her the boat woman.
The boat lady, yep.
Yeah, boat lady. Yep. Anyway, Lord bless you, Pastor.
You too, Gene. Love you.
Good to be
Thanks.
There.
Yep. Well, folks, I know I'm not a fashion setter. I can't take the long sleeve shirts and the coats when it gets this time of year. But this morning, before we go any further, I just want to say this. Congratulations, and I mean that, to all that were placed in a position of responsibility here at Fruitland Baptist Church. But to everyone that wasn't, you're not off the hook either. In other words, we're all in the same position. We need to be in a position of servanthood to the Lord Jesus Christ. But at this time, I'm going to ask everyone that was elected into a responsible position Wednesday night to stand, and we're going to have a word of prayer. And you have your list there, so now you know who to go after, and my name's not on the list. No. Let's have a word of prayer. Yeah. Thank you. Father, I thank you once again for your local church. It's your institution here on earth. And Lord, we realize that we fall very far short. Even though this is a gathering of professed believers, there is sin that abounds, Lord, and there are dangers. But I thank you that these folks that were nominated and were willing to be placed into the vote were brought into that position of responsibility by the wisdom of your people. And I pray, Lord, that this would not be anything we'd ever take as a high thing, at least of our own pride, but that this would be a thing that we understand is of you. And we are really your servants, Lord, and we want to do the very best we can for you. So I pray that you'll bless this group of folks that were elected, and Lord, that you'll continue to bless Fruitland Baptist Church, that it would be a church that would bring you glory. And Lord, as I've said many times, I don't know when the ending of the church age is exactly, when that will be, but I know this, that we want to go out with a bang and not with a whimper. So, Lord, help us, I pray, in the days that we live. I'm excited about your program, Lord, and what's all in store. It's going to be good stuff. And now I pray you'll bless these folks, but not only them, Lord, but the rest of the congregants here at Fruitland as we adapt that position of servanthood to you and, Lord, to those around us. And I pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for standing at this time. And I am excited about the Lord's program. And I am excited about the year ahead. Does that mean that it's going to be a cakewalk?
No.
Well, we could have a cakewalk.
No.
But it likely will not be. It never has been, folks. The Lord's church has been a place of adversity and strife and contention throughout all time. And it will not change. But his church will stand as long as he wants it to stand. And as he says in Matthew 16, he builds his church. It's not a pastor that builds it. It's not a program that builds it. They may have an effect. It's not people that build it. But let's never forget, Jesus said, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That's what I take to heart today. I'm excited. I'm excited about this message too today. And the title of it is The Power and Potency of Scripture. I'll tell you what, folks, we're dealing with some powerful stuff here in our hands. We're going to explore that in a little bit. I just have to say this. One of the things that bothers me the most is there's so much to deliver and so little time. This book is so profound, you could preach on it a lifetime if God gave you 70, 80, 90 years. You'll never plumb the depths of it. It's the greatest thing ever given to us, the revelation of the Lord through His Word. Let's go to prayer. Welcome to everyone again. I look forward always to greeting and meeting you. I hope you understand sometimes that can't happen. While we have choir, I won't be able to walk around. But I care about all of you. And Kim and I want to always say hello. And we're always concerned when we don't see you. Let's go to prayer. Father, I'm just simply going to say this. I'm going to thank you for this opportunity today to preach your word. That's a really a privileged thing, Lord. Not as a prideful thing, but as a responsibility. And I take that very seriously. And I thank you, Lord, that you love every one of us in this room, but not only in this room, but those that are not inside it this morning as well. And I pray, Lord, today that we'll be revealed, again, through the power of the Spirit, that it will be revealed, the power and potency of your word. And in particular, Lord, today, salvation. So I pray today, Lord, as I'm a feeble and faulty speaker, that you'll embolden and empower my lips and my heart today to bring this message for your glory. I admit freely, Lord, it's going to be up to you and the power of the Holy Spirit to deliver it and to drive it home in the hearts of people. Because you know me, Lord, I'm the weak link in that chain. So now as we proceed, may this be an eventful day, Lord, a powerful day in the lives of all of us, but hopefully, Lord, maybe in someone that would need your salvation today to experience firsthand your love. And I pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Friends in Christ, isn't it good to be gathered today?
Amen.
You know, I've never missed a Sunday morning or evening service when I haven't said what? It doesn't feel right. This is dress rehearsal for heaven, folks. And it's where we need to be.
Amen.
We need to be. It's a family reunion of those that are under the blood of Christ. Amen?
Yes.
We need the blood of the Savior, my friends, to cover our sin-tainted blood, and we need the instruction from His Word and the encouragement and support of our brothers and sisters in the refuge known as His church. The ecclesia in the Greek, the called out ones. Folks, today, if you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you've been called out. This didn't happen by accident. And the church isn't by accident. It's the gathering place for those that have been called by God unto salvation. That's why it's important, folks. It's very important. And let me just say, in the days that are to come, unless there's a change, it's going to become even more of an important gathering for God's people. We live in a volatile time. Hebrews 10, 23 through 25, the writer of Hebrews, who we don't know who that was, but we know it was divine scripture. I won't go into who I think it was today. I think Paul was part of it, though, but talk to me privately. But the writer admonishes us to do this, to hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering. For he, that meaning the Lord, is faithful that promised. By the way, is God's word good? You can take God's word for what it says and that it is truth. He says this, and let us consider one another to promote unto love and good works. That's why we're here today too, folks, to encourage one another, promote living for Jesus in part, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. This is a building place, folks. We need to be building one another up today, encouraging one another. And he says here, the writer, so much the more as you see the day approaching. Friends, that's the day of the Lord. That's the day of the Lord. We've talked about that recently. Friends, that day of his return, both in the air for his church and physically to earth, to war with and defeat the forces of the Antichrist, is fast approaching. And apart from that, if he tarries, is our meeting him through death. Not to mention how we need his word in our life to find eternal life and to operate in daily life. This book is practical too.
We must turn, my friends, to find out about that, to the authoritative source of God's communication in his love letter, which is the powerful and potent Word of God, divine truth, known as the Bible. So today, just a few points that we want to cover about the power and potency of God's Word. And I give this disclaimer every week. I cannot even touch a thumbnail of what's in this book. So you may say, well, you left out this or that. Yes, I did, but the things that I bring to you today, consider, because they're important. So here's the first point. By the way, no handout sheet, no screen today. Does anyone need a pen? Does anyone need paper? I'm serious. The preacher's got his notebook back there. By the way, Denny has kept notes, I think probably on every message that's ever been preached here at Fruitland. He's my accountability partner. I keep him too, though. Anyway, we better start. Here's the first point. The Bible is God's powerful and potent direct delivery of his will for mankind to mankind. That's the Bible. Let me just say this before we go into Scripture. The Bible's the most challenged book ever, or the most challenged writing ever in all of history. Why is that? Well, I heard several things. That's the bottom thing, Lonnie. If this book were not truth, it would have been disproved. You know, it's stood on its own now for a little over 1,600 years as the 66th book, Word of God. The canon was agreed upon in the Council of Nicaea back in those days, and they said, after careful and concise study, that these 66 books did not contradict each other. They were nothing in there that was attributed to man, but was attributed to God. And through divine, again, providence, that's the test that has been. No contradictions. Are they claimed to be from the Word of God? I could preach a whole sermon on that. But folks, this book has stood longer than anything else, and there's no book that can compare to it with all the authors and everything else that there's not one contradiction in it. Amen. Old people have challenged it with contradictions, but if you study far enough, you'll find what? There are no contradictions. You tell me anything else that can stack up to that. Anyway, here's the message today. 2 Timothy 3:16a. 2 Timothy 3:16a to begin with. Here it is. Many of us have memorized this verse. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. We're going to stop right there for just a minute on this first point. All Scripture. Scripture in the Greek is the word graphe, writings. Now again, these writings have to be put to the test of, as I mentioned, of uniformity. We cannot accept everything that's been written that's been attributed to God because of what? You know, there's some profit in extra-biblical writings, but folks, I'll just say this morning. We know that our friends in the Roman Catholic Church would say there's more books. It's called the Apocrypha. And some of those books, like the books of Maccabees and so forth, give us a lot of picture into the intertestamental period, but folks, they don't meet the canon of Scripture because they have contradictory parts in those. I believe what Paul told Timothy here, all Scripture means all Scripture that lines up together, that does not contradict itself, that is confirmed to be of God by the writers. All Scripture is given by inspiration. Now that word inspiration is the Greek word pneustos. When we talk about the Holy Spirit, the word pneumos, the word for air. Because how did the Holy Spirit come in Acts chapter 2? He came as a rushing wind. He came as a rushing wind. But there it is. God's word is inspired, which means it is God-breathed. It is not, again, from a human derivative. It was only brought to us through human what? Use. But it is God's very word. He breathed it out to those that were the ones to pen it. Interestingly enough, it's so profound that it was not dictatorial, but it was written in the personality of who God chose to pen it. But it is His revealed Word. That's inspired Scripture. This Word we have in front of us came from Almighty God. And folks, you can explore it. You can tear it apart. And everything you do with it, you'll find it is profound. And it is powerful. And it is potent. All Scripture that meet the divine criteria, again, in all ways, has been breathed out by Almighty God. That's what we have in front of us here this morning. There is no other writing that you can give me this morning that can compare. Do you believe that this morning, folks? Check it out. Read Homer's Iliad, one of the oldest books or writings that's purported to exist. It will not meet this criteria. And I'll tell you another thing, folks. From when I've explored other writings and so forth, there's a feeling that comes over you right away. And what's that feeling? This isn't the genuine article. But you never get this from God's holy Word. It's powerful. It's potent. It's authoritative. It is the Word of God. 2 Peter 2:15 through 21. Let's look at a little more evidence here. 2 Peter 2:15 through 21. And remember, I can't give you everything today. 2 Peter 2:15 through 21. And here we find the following. Am I wrong here? I think I am. Let's try three. Nah, it's 1 Peter, isn't it? Well, don't worry about the bulletin. I could have been wrong on that. Nah, hold on here a minute. Help me out here, folks. 2 Peter, 1 Peter. Yeah, that's what it is. Somehow I got the wrong. It's 2 Peter 1. Yeah, let's try that, 15 through 21. Okay. Yes. 2 Peter 1, 15 through 21. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance, Peter says. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables. By the way, I'm going to change that before I say that wrong again. 2 Peter 1, 15 through 21. Here the Apostle Peter is saying what? I want to tell you that this stuff that we're delivering to you is not what? It's not just conjecture, but it's based on something much more evident and tangible. When we made known unto you the power, there it is, and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were what? Eyewitnesses of His majesty. They weren't taking credit to themselves. That's another trait that we find in divine Scripture. People did not take credit for this themselves, but they gave credit to the one it came from, to Almighty God. But we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Do you remember when this took place? At the Transfiguration, that's right. By the way, that's the place you can see the evidence for the triunity of God, of the Godhead. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were all present. "And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount." Now here it is, folks. Listen carefully. Peter says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, wherein you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation." That means a couple of things there at least. It means it wasn't what the writers brought along. It was what God brought to the writers. But it means another thing as well. When it says of no private interpretation, it means that God's word stands within itself. And what I mean by that is, we cannot pick one verse out of Scripture without considering what the rest of Scripture has to say about it. You see, Scripture confirms itself. Jesus claims that it's the truth because it came from Him. And it is not of any private interpretation. In other words, we cannot go off on tangents with Scripture, but we have to remain within the parameters of the whole book. And my friends, this thing fits together. It's a divine book. For the prophecy, it says in 21, came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men spoke. Holy men of God spake as they were moved or borne along by the Holy Ghost. This book was authored by the Holy Ghost through the pens of man, through the personalities of man. Because you see, we get the perspectives of God through the personalities of man. I don't want to belabor this, but go into the Gospels, for example. You get the perspective of what these eyewitnesses saw through Matthew the what? The IRS man. You get the perspectives through Luke, who was a what? A physician. And you can go all through Scripture. God used the personalities to deliver His Word. But it's His Word. Anyway, folks, it's divine writ, and it cannot be proven wrong. It stands on its own. And it is authoritative, and it is eternal, and it is settled in heaven forever, according to Psalm 119:89. Thy word is settled in heaven. Thy word is settled in heaven forever. It will not change. In Isaiah 48, the following is recorded: the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever. And you can go with many more references in Scripture. It says that it is eternal and that it is settled and that it is divine. And you can go on and on and on. The only challenges that come to this word are not from internal challenges. They're from external challenges, my friends, at the behest of the wicked one, Satan. We have a powerful and potent word in front of us today. And I'll just say this. I'll challenge you today, anyone in this room, to prove it wrong. If you haven't, but you better do this first if you're going to try. You better follow what 2 Timothy 2:15 says, which says, to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing, that's the key word there, two words, rightly dividing the word of truth. Again, we need to study further before we make accusations against the Word of God, because let me tell you, it's been attacked a lot, and it stood the test of time. Study to show yourself approved. Like I said earlier, at least 1,600 years in the 66-book form, but the last writings are almost 2,000 years old now. I'm going to tell you, folks, there's nothing like it. Enough said. Amen? Okay, second point. The Bible is God's power and potency in the answers to the needs of man. Let's quickly go through these. First of all, it shows us our realities like a mirror. You know, every time I look in a mirror, I see what? Well, yeah, myself. But who am I? I'm a defect. And you know, every time I look in the mirror, I'm reminded not of how things don't look like they could, but I'm reminded I'm a sinner. I'm reminded that my time here on this earth is finite. And I'm reminded that one day I will meet my Savior. But if you're here today apart from Jesus Christ, the Word of God also reminds you that there will come a time that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess Jesus to the glory of God the Father. You know, even the people in hell, and I pray no one is headed there this morning, they'll bring glory to God because they're going to know Read Luke 16, the rich man and Lazarus. He knew, didn't he? We're going to know. The mirror shows us that. James, we got to move. James 1, 23 through 25. James 1, 23 through 25. James 1, 23 through 25 says this. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a mirror, a glass. Remember what that said. If you be a hearer but not a doer, that's an important connection. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, in other words, I don't remember the defects this morning I saw in the mirror. I was thankful that I didn't cut myself shaving. Amen. Especially when you're on blood thinner. That's the day you don't wear a plain colored shirt. We forget what we look like, right? But here it is, 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect or complete law of liberty, the Bible, continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You see, folks, the Word of God, when we retain it in our hearts, it works a work in us that never leaves us. Because it has exposed us and it shows us what to do. It exposes our neediness and what we need to do. It shows us the realities of our being, just like a mirror. God's word is a mirror. Second point, it cuts to our hearts like a fine-edged scalpel. I don't know how many of you have worked with scalpels. I know none of you are MDs. There are some nurses, Carrie, you ever work with a scalpel? Yeah, I have two, but my doctoring was on critters. But usually when I did some of those surgical procedures, and let me say there were days I did over 100 and some in one period of time, I usually managed to cut myself. I'll go no further. So I know the territory, Tori, but Hebrews 4:12. Again, we could preach a whole message on this. For the word of God is, in the King James it says quick, that means living. Quick of your finger, poke it sometime with a knife or a needle or something, you'll know you're alive. And the word of God is living and powerful. I won't go into that, it's the Greek word energos there. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It cuts us open finally to expose us. Amen. And our need for the Lord and his providential goodness to us. Third point, it is profitable to teach us. 2 Timothy 3:16b. We're going to come back to that here in just a few minutes. But mark that down. It is profitable to teach us. Well, we're actually going to go there right now. 2 Timothy 3:16b. Let's run through this. Again, this is not all inclusive today, but it has got the key things here. Because it says what? It is profitable. It is profitable. Profitable means it's there to teach us, okay? For getting us set straight. It's there for reproof, isn't that? Well, it says for doctrine. That's the thing to teach us, again. And then it says for reproof. Reproof is what? For conviction. The Word of God has convicting evidence that shows us what's right and what's wrong with us and what's right with God. It also says for correction. Correction is the ability to set us right. The Word of God has that potency and that power. And it also says for what? Instruction. In righteousness. Instruction in righteousness is the nurture and the chastening to keep us right. Amen. In other words, it keeps us what? On track. Amen. That's the power and the potency of the Word of God. And then verse 17 says this, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, truly furnished unto all good works. I like to look at that as fully equipped. And this is how I look at this, to be completely equipped. And that word also there has the idea of being kept fresh. Fresh with God. You know yourself, if you stray far from the Word of God, you become stale. And you become dull. But continuing again in the purpose that God has in Scripture, it keeps us alive and it keeps us fresh for living God's work in us. And much, much more that we find in Scripture. Point three. The Bible is God's power and potency of our need for and provision of salvation. Our greatest need, folks. Today, it's not money. We talked about money, didn't we, this morning, Landon? Yep. Remember that we were in Acts chapter 3 this morning. The man that was impotent, he was paralyzed. Remember, he went to the beautiful gate at the temple. The women went in at the beautiful gate. He was looking for money. And old Peter says, "Hey, Jack, I ain't got no cash, but I've got something better." And you can read the rest of that account. But folks, our greatest need and our greatest sufficiency in God is salvation. And I'll tell you what, if you're destitute this morning of everything else, whether it be money, possessions, whatever you can put in that category, if you have Jesus Christ, you're rich today. If you have salvation through Christ, it is the ultimate gift that was ever given to the undeserving. And all of us are undeserving. Now, I need your help here this morning because we're coming down to the conclusion here. And this is a very simple message. But what the Bible gives us is the full story. I like the full story. I don't like to watch a show like Columbo. Some of you old-timers remember that. Because it takes 3 hours for him to show me what's going to take place, the mystery. God's Word doesn't cause you to have to do that. It tells you the whole thing. Right? It gives the full story from creation to the fall, to the cross, to the resurrection, to heaven or hell. And folks, it all fits. You know, as a younger person, less learned in the Scriptures, I wondered about a lot of that, but you know, God has revealed to me as I've studied His Word, this thing fits together. It all fits down to the very least point. And yet points that I'm discovering in the Word. Maybe you are too yet, as you study it. Let's review a little bit. How many of you know the Romans Road? Well, we'll work on some of those things, but you could get a lot of verses out of Romans, but I'm not going to give you all those today. Romans 5:12, wherefore, as by, and so, that tells you right there what happened. What about Romans 6:23, for, but sin entered into the world when Adam fell, and death entered into the world, both physical and spiritual. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 3:23. John 3:16. And 17 and 18 are good in that too. Romans 10:13, part B. Annie. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That word saved means delivered. Delivered from death unto eternal life. And Acts 4:12. Now, I'm going to go there because I've always had a hard time quoting that verse. Acts 4:12. I think I could do it. I have done it many times, but I'm going to go to the Word, especially on a morning like I'm having today. Neither, either. But I'm going to say neither. Sorry, autonym. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Folks, or delivered. There's nowhere to go but Jesus. That's what this book says. It confirms it from cover to cover. He's the only way. It's profound. And let me just say this. When you see something that makes a profound statement like that, you better investigate that. Because you know what? In almost everything, there's more than one way to do something. You've heard that old terminology. There's more than one way to skin a cat. And that's true. Even though I've never done it. I have skinned a coon before. A few times. And a few other things. Muskrats. We won't go there this morning. It's almost time for lunch. Yeah. One way. That's what the book says. You better check that out. Let's look at Acts 16:30-31 too, while we're there. This is the Philippian jailer. Luke wrote the book of Acts. Let's see what Paul and Silas say. Acts 16, and I'll tell you right now, the whole book says this, Jesus. He's the only way. Jesus even says that. Remember the Philippian jailer after the quake? The jailer just brought the people out of the prison that was destroyed by an earthquake. By the way, you think God isn't able to deliver us? How does he take a facility like that down, likely made out of pure stone? And all the people walked away alive. And brought them out, that's the Paul and Silas, and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they spoke, and they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He didn't say, Become religious. He didn't say, Well, if your works are better than, or more of them are better than not, you'll be saved. He didn't say give money. He didn't say, well, do this or do that. He said what? Believe, accept the gift. Just what Paul and Silas had been preaching that they got put in jail for. Receive it. Believe it. And folks, look through much, much more. But it all fits together. Here's the conclusion. Today, there's two types of people in this room. I hope they're all one. I hope every one of us in here is saved. You've heard it again today. And you'll hear how to be saved here in just a moment if you don't. But you've heard it basically already. And it's this. It's receive the gift. Trust the book. Trust Jesus. You heard the verses. But today, if you're here and you're saved, 1 John 1:9 has a relevance today when we consider the power and potency of Scripture. You know, God wants us to stay close. We're His kids. 1 John 1:9 says, If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He wants us to stay close. He wants us to repent and turn away when we stray. We can't lose our salvation, folks, but we can lose our fellowship. Not by His choice, but by ours. If you're saved in this room today, God wants a close walk with you. He wants to keep us close. And then if there's someone here today who has never trusted Jesus Christ or you're unsure of your salvation, let me just say this. You can know today 1 John 5:13 says, these things are written, this book, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you can believe on the only name of the Son of God. 2 Corinthians 6:2b sums this up today. If you're not a child of God, if you've never placed your sins, as we started this whole message out, under the blood of Christ, the precious blood, the sinless blood, for your sinful blood. 2 Corinthians 6:2b, and we're going to be done. 2 Corinthians 6:2b, and I think I'm sure on this reference. Let's read it together or follow along as I read it. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee, it says in the King James Version. What that really means is he's called us. Every one of us in this room here today, we may not be able to know the exact date on the calendar we were saved, but we know one thing, that God got a hold of our heart one day and we were saved. Some of you know that day. I don't know the day of the week. I know it was a weekday, but I was in first grade in the winter. So do the math. It's been a while. Because this is what it says here. It says, behold, if you're unsaved here today, it says, pay attention. Look at this. Look at the evidence. You don't have to look right now. But you may want to look right now of the evidence that was just presented here this morning, which was just a tiny bit. This whole book, the whole creation, gives the evidence of God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Okay? But here's what it says. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. If you're here apart from Jesus, let me just illustrate this briefly as we get ready to go. You don't know what's coming next. None of us knows today if we will draw one more breath. None of us knows today if we'll ever gather together again in this building or with loved ones or anything else. But we can know today that we can gather together with Jesus Christ for all eternity if we'll receive the gift today. You see, today is the day to be saved. The offer's on the table. And maybe today, you know, if you're here unsaved, if Jesus is calling you today, I'll tell you what you need to consider. Will you deny the voice of Almighty God? You know, the Bible says there's only one sin that's not forgivable. It's the unpardonable sin. It's when we what? When we reject the call of God to salvation. God forbid someone to do that today and leave this place and their life would come to an end. We're only guaranteed now. And Acts 4:12 told us there's only one name. There is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. So here's my question as we go today. How do you respond to the power and potency of Scripture, God's revealed word, in your life today? My prayer is, we'll all accept it, we'll all obey it, and we'll experience the power and potency that God has in it for our benefit. But know this today, you can be saved today by calling upon the name of the Lord. It's that simple. I'll say this, I and others here as well would love to help anyone that wonders about that. We can't save you, but we can show you from Scripture again and confirm these precious promises that come from the power and potency of Scripture. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and stand. Well, if you have one, number 421. There's been a lot of wonderful hymnology and songs written about the Word of God. This is the one God laid on my heart for this week. Wonderful words. Words of life. Have you responded? You know, Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. All the extracurricular stuff I said this morning, it may have relevance, but what really had relevance this morning was God's Word. And let me just say this, you know it today, He's calling. Like I said, the believer, unbeliever, believer, we better stay close to God, keep your sins confessed, keep in quick, close fellowship. For the unbeliever, He's there today if you'll call on Him, and you can know for sure today. Let's sing it. Today, if God's working, if there's a need, hey, step out for God today. Don't be afraid. No one here is going to harm you. Jesus is going to receive you. He's going to be so happy. You know, that's what it says, isn't it? There's joy in heaven over every sinner that comes to Christ. Make this a great day with the wonderful words of life. Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. Let them more of their beauty see. Wonderful words of life. Words of life and duty. Teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words. Wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words. Wonderful words of life. Jesus is waiting today for both believer and unbeliever with loving eyes and open arms. I pray today that you'll be moved by the Word of God and that this will be a day like none other as we rejoice in fellowship in our time that we've had here for the last hour to spend with Him. So today, Matt, I'm going to ask you to close in prayer. And again, I'll look forward to seeing you at the back door.